Here we go. Isaiah chapter number 9. And the title of the message tonight is Counselor. Just simply Counselor. The word Counselor means to advise, to plan, or to propose. And Jesus meets all of those definitions. He wants to be our advisor. He wants to be our planner. And he has a lot of propositions for us. And so I trust tonight as we listen, as we read the scriptures, we'll learn. Beginning in verse number 6, the Bible says, a very familiar portion of scripture. If you've been in a Fundamental Baptist Church's Sunday school or maybe a training time or just in the preaching services, you've probably have read this many times. Some of you have read through this year in your Bible reading. You should be past this by now and coming in on the last week. And so we don't want to falter with that now. But the Bible says, beginning in verse number 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Don't miss that word given. We didn't earn it. We didn't purchase it. We certainly don't deserve it. Amen. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Here the Bible tells us again that there's some things God's not going to leave to man. God's going to take care of them himself. And the Bible says about Jesus coming again, it says that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There's some things God's not going to let man mess up, and so Jesus is going to come himself. Well, here it says in the latter part of verse number 7, it says the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And so God is going to take care of all this stuff by himself, and he wants us to know that and be assured of that. In the book of Isaiah chapter 28 and verse number 29, we read this. The Bible says, this also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts. Now listen how it describes him. Which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. Isaiah, in the portion of scripture we just read, said that Jesus is wonderful, counselor. And sometimes I wish that comma wasn't there, because he really is a wonderful counselor. And here the Bible says that he's wonderful in counsel and he's excellent in working. And of course, this title belongs to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the Lord is counselor. He doesn't need any counsel himself. He's not looking for any advisors. He's not looking for anybody to get the latest on the stock market or the latest on on what's going to happen with the vaccine. The Lord isn't asking for any advice on any of those things, but I'm sure he has an opinion on all those things, and he is our counselor. Christ is privy to the thoughts of every man. Now, let me just share this with you. We've been in services now for about 18 minutes. Every thought that you have thought, Jesus knows. And he is either pleased or displeased with those thoughts. It's a wonderful thing to serve a God who knows everything, but it also can be a frightening thing to serve a God who knows everything. And that all depends on what choices you've just made. If we choose to follow him, if we choose to obey him, then we're glad he knows everything. But if we choose to cheat just a little bit, have you ever got caught cheating on a test? Someone says, didn't go to school long enough to take a test. And that might be. But if you've ever been caught cheating, it's an embarrassing thing. Can you imagine when some people try to cheat their way to heaven by going some other way besides the bloodstained way? They try to go by their baptism, or they try to go by their good works. They try to go by the fact they bought Girl Scout cookies or something. They have to go by cheating. They're trying to go by cheating. And when the Lord himself takes care of these things, that's all going to be revealed. The thoughts and the intents of people's hearts. And so God knows everything. In Revelation, the Bible, seven different times, Jesus said, I know. I know. He tells those seven churches, I know what you're doing. I know what you're thinking. I know where you're going. I know where you've been. I know what you ought to be doing that you're not doing. I know what you ought not to be doing that you are doing. He said, I know. And we need to understand, when we're talking to a counselor, he knows everything. Now, when I think about Jesus knowing everything, I was thinking today about hunting in Colorado. It's hunting season there, if they haven't cut it too short. When I was a kid, we could start hunting deer, elk, and so forth. We could antelope. We could start hunting them the first part of September. We could hunt through the end of February. That's not the way it is now. But I thought, you know, with Jesus knowing everything, he knows everything. The end from the beginning knows everything. It'd be good to have him tell you where that big elk was. Psst, where? You say, wow, he wouldn't do that. Well, what makes you think he wouldn't do that? I remember on two different occasions, he came up to some men that were fishing. One, he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. He told them where the fish were. Why couldn't he tell me where an elk's at? And then another time he says, cast your nets on the other side of the ship. He says, you're facing the wrong place. You're looking the wrong place. You're on the wrong mountain, Brother Sutton. You need to go to the other mountain. Jesus knows everything. And he lets us know, he lets us in on what he knows as we're subject to what he's already told us and as we're obedient to what he's already told us. When Christ was here in person on the earth, he gave counsel to people. Listen to some of the advice that Jesus gave. He advised sinners to repent. He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus said that an absolute necessity to go to heaven is that we repent. Now somebody says, well, what does repent mean? Repent means to change your mind about something that is so definite that it changes your action about that thing you're thinking about. You change your mind and it changes your action. Now, I never heard the word repent before I got saved. I never heard it. Never did I hear the word repent. But after I got saved, I realized that that's what I'd done. I heard the gospel. I heard that Jesus died for me. I heard that without him, I could not go to heaven. I heard that if I was sorry for my sin, willing to turn to him from my sin, he'd save me. So I realized then that I had repented, and I'm thanking God for that. That's been a number of years ago. I was saved in December. And so I'm celebrating my birthday this month, and I'm so very thankful for that. He encouraged people to believe in him. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Now, everybody believes in God. Now, there are people that say they don't. But what they're doing is they're putting their own intellect in place of God, and they're worshiping their own intellect, their own misguided information, and they think they're smarter than some supposed God. And so Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He directed the weary to come to him for rest. He directed the hungry and the thirsty to come to him to have their needs met. And such as were healed and such as were saved and such as were pardoned, he gave some of this counsel to. He said, number one, go and sin no more. We're living in a society today when people think they can trust the Lord Jesus and continue to live the same old way, the same old dirty, rotten, sinful way that they lived, continue to shack up with everybody, continue to do this and do that and live any way they want to, in spite of the fact that Jesus said, go and sin no more. Now, he knows that we're going to sin. But there's a difference between falling into a mud puddle and jumping into a mud puddle. There's a difference between falling into a mud puddle and living in a mud puddle. And we need to understand that. Jesus said, go and sin no more. Here's another thing he said. He said that his people should behave in a humble and a modest manner. He said that we ought to bear reproaches and persecutions cheerfully. Now let me ask you that. When somebody's persecuting you, do you smile and say, Jesus loves you? Do you smile and say, it's a good thing Jesus loves me? How do you handle persecution and reproaches? Jesus said we're supposed to love one another. And love, we're not talking about lust one another. We're talking about love one another. Jesus' counsel was that we're to love one another. And love means to give to meet the need of someone else. Jesus said, pray to his Father in his name for all the things that we need and all the things that we desire. And so when we follow him, we'll be different than when he found us. I'm glad things are different than when Jesus found me. Oh, I've got a long ways to go. When I hadn't been saved very long, and they came out with this, some kind of interdenominational program, but they had buttons and bumper stickers and decals you put on your windows and everything. You'd see it everywhere. It would say, please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. And that's the truth. Regardless of who came up with it, it's still a truth. Please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. And I thank God. I thank God that one day I'll be better than I am right now. But I thank God tonight I'm not what I used to be. He changed me. He changed me. Well, Jesus counseled people while he was here on earth personally. And now Jesus gives people counsel from his word. And a lot of people tell me that Jesus told them to do things that's contrary to this book. Well, if he's going to tell us to do things contrary to this book, we just will pitch the book. Why carry a book around all the time? Why read a book all the time if Jesus is going to come and contradict the book when he gives us counsel? When we sit down with Jesus, well, whether we're across the table or we're kneeling beside our bed or we're in church services or we just have the Bible in our lap and we're reading it and Jesus is giving us counsel, mark it down, he'll never lead us to do anything contrary to the Word of God. Amen. Never will. And so he counsels the poor in spirit to come to him and to trust him for true riches. For true riches. You know, the world today is fighting for riches and glory and all those things. You heard about the fellow that tried to get into heaven with a whole bunch of gold, didn't you? And, of course, the story goes, and it's not true, but the story goes that St. Peter stopped him and said, what you got in those sacks? He said, that's my life savings. He said, I'm going to take it to heaven with me. He said, no, you're not going to bring that in. We don't need that here. You can't get in without here. And he said, oh, no. He said, I worked all my life to get all this gold. And St. Peter finally said, well, I'll call administration and see what they have to say. And he said, he rang the phone. They answered. They said, there's a guy here wanting to get in with a bunch of pavement. Because in heaven, they're going to pave the streets of gold, streets in heaven with gold. And we need to understand that. But he wants to give us real riches. Someone says, what do you think, Brother Sutton, is real riches? How about peace that passes all understanding? You cannot be saved deliberately living in sin and have the peace of God that passes all understanding, that has the ability of keeping your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. It's like oil and water. You might mix them up for a little bit, but let them set for a little bit and they're going to come apart, because you can't live for the devil and have peace with the Lord Jesus. And then purpose. Oh, so many people today have no purpose. That's why when someone says, well, let's go riot, let's go build a building, they can grab a couple hundred people or 1,000 people because they have no purpose. Have no purpose whatsoever. And purpose is a wonderful thing. Purpose is what we're left here for, what we're left here to do. And when we know our purpose, man, what a rich thing purpose is. And then a persuasiveness. That's our ability to influence other people. You know, I have made a lot of mistakes in my life. I've done things differently than I should have done them, probably. No, probably, excuse me, that's a cop-out word. I've done many things I shouldn't have done. But I sure hope when I talk to people now that if they're persuaded of anything, they're persuaded that at least I believe what I say. Whether I can convince them to believe it or not, that's one thing, and I want to do that. I want to persuade men that Jesus is real, that he really lived, that he really died, that he really rose again, that he's really coming back for us. I want to be able to persuade men for that. But if they're not persuaded of anything else, I want them to know that Brother Sutton believes what he's preaching. And so he says, I want to give you true riches, real riches. And of course, he does that with the Word of God. And the Word of God is the product of God's mind, the Lord Jesus' mind, and it's a declaration of his will. Someone says, well, what do you think God thinks about that? It's right here. It's right here. There is a verse in here. There is a chapter in here. There's a portion of Scripture here that'll tell you what God thinks about what you're doing, about how you're living, about what your goals are, what your aims are, what your desires are, what you've done, what you haven't done, what you want to do. It's all covered in this book. And God wants to give us counsel about that. And then He wants to give the spiritual naked some clothes. In Revelation, we find that told a couple of different times. And then He wants the ignorant to come for spiritual light and for real knowledge. And such as are lost, He wants them to come and receive salvation. And it's all here in the book. And those that believe, He wants us to abide in Him and abide in His truth and abide by His ordinances. He wants us to be obedient unto Him. And it's all right here in the counseling book. You know, people sell books on Amazon and on, what's that other one? eBay. eBay's one. All kinds of places where you can buy books, and all these books promise you all these different things. And I'm not against books. The day I was kneeling at an old one, they were buying. Listen, you could go clean out your parrot cage or your dove cage, your pigeon cage, and you could sell the manure. And that's what they were making soup out of. And if you had a donkey, they'd most of the time it'd cut the head off of a donkey, they'd just throw it away. Wouldn't even eat the donkey. I did hear of a hunter in Colorado one time, though. He was looking for mule deer. He up in the mountains, and he shot a mule. And he said, well, this is a mule deer. He threw it, cleaned it, and threw it in the back of his pickup truck and went through the check station, and they looked at it, and the mule was wearing shoes. They said, well, what? Somebody asked the game warden, said, what'd you do? He said, we just let the fool go. We figured he'd get treated better on the other end than he would anything we could do to him. But we knew that these people were eating dove dung and mules' heads, donkeys' heads. And these four leprous men, leprosy is a type of sin. So here's four lost men, a picture of four lost men. The Bible says that this world is wiser many times than God's children, children of the light. And these four lost men said, listen, let's go out here and see if we can't get into the camp of the enemy. If we die, we but just die. I mean, it might be that they'd let us live. If we stay here, we know we're going to die. If we go out there, the worst thing that can happen is we die. If we die, we die. Here or there. So they're reasoning, they're thinking. And they go outside and they hear this noise, and they go and to the camp, and everybody in the camp has gone away. And they find all these clothes, riches and weapons and monies and food all along the path. And they get to the camp, they find all this stuff. And of course, the lost man normally would say, well, let's make a deal with the king. We could sell this stuff to that starving city pretty well. But here's what one of them said. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. They just believed because their cup was running over, they were obligated to share it with other people. Amen. You know, tonight I can say my cup runneth over. I don't know how anybody could be on their way to heaven and not want to talk to people about the Lord Jesus. How could you sit at a table with someone you know is lost and not tell them at least once with a broken heart how they need the Lord Jesus, how He can satisfy their aches and pains and satisfy their broken heart and heal their wounds and kiss their owies and make everything right if they'll just do things His way. The message that God has for His people to give to a lost and a dying world and to discourage Christians. It's a wonderful lesson. And simply the lesson is, my cup runneth over. Can I tell you why? I hope you have a cup running over and a heart willing to tell everyone why it is so. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, please.
God is in the business of fixing problems, but he wants us to bring that problem to him. He wants to give us victory over our problems, but he wants us to bring that problem to him. The Bible says, let every man examine himself. It's his own self is actually what it says. A man was speaking to a preacher one time, and he says, I've been going to a doctor for 2 years, paying him $200 an hour, but I'm going to be honest with you. We ought to just be honest with the Lord. Two people that we ought not to ever lie to anybody. But even lost people, some lost people know that you can't lie to God. He knows everything. And why would you lie to yourself? Why would you lie to yourself? And yet some people do that over and over again. And so we need to understand that we need to be honest. If we have a fear, we need to tell God, I have this fear. I'm afraid of this. And just tell God what it is and ask God how to take care of it. And I promise you, he'll tell you if you really want to know. If you've made up your mind, I'm tired of this fear, being this spirit of fear being over me all the time, and you'll go and talk to God about it, God will tell you how to get rid of that spirit of fear. And listen, it won't be near as hard as carrying that spirit of fear around. Whatever it is God tells you to do, won't be nearly as difficult, nearly as hard on you as carrying that stuff around all the time. Faith says, launch out into the deep. Jesus told his disciples, remember that? Launch out into the deep, let down your net for a draught. But fear says, stay on the bank. Safer here. But we only catch little fish here. Jesus said, launch out into the deep. Fear says, no, I'll stay here. I'll catch a half dozen little fish, you catch one big one. Fear says, don't take chances. God says, live by faith. So admit you have a problem. The second thing is, accept your position as a child of the Lord. You know, I don't think that we have all the authority sometimes that Pentecostalism says we have. But I know this, I'm a child of God. I know this, he has a great investment in me. He has invested a lot in me, the life of his son. He's given to me through people and through churches and through ministries God has given to me. God has a lot of investment in my life. And we have an authority. Jesus said all authority is given to him in heaven and on earth. All power is given to him in heaven and on earth. Based on that, we're supposed to go and tell people about Christ. But we need to understand that with that authority and power that Jesus has, he delegates some of that to us. And we're children of God. We're not just ragtag. We're not just muffins being kicked hither and yon, or shouldn't be. We have power with the Lord. Someone says, well, preacher, you don't understand. The devil's been after me all my life. Yeah, a lot of other people too. Most people, especially saved people, he's been after them all of his life, all their life. He doesn't want them to be a success. But if we run around with fear all the time, we don't have enough God showing on us to scare a secondhand devil, much less the real one. I maybe have told this story before, but there was a lady going to Ellicott Baptist Church that was all the time late, all the time late, all the time late. And finally one day the preacher, she'd come dragging her. She had about 10 kids. She'd come dragging them all in, eeny, meeny, miny, mowing, 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 rattling everything and banging everything and diaper bags and sleeping bags or whatever they had with them and come right through the back of the church building and disturb everything. And she'd always say, I'm sorry, preacher. I'm sorry, preacher. The devil made me late. The devil made me late. And so one day the preacher said, listen to me. Do you really think that you're spiritual enough that you're the only one that the devil bothers at 9:30 in the morning on Sundays? She said, well, I don't know what to do about it. He said, well, won't you come on Saturday night and spend the night here? That way you'd be on time one time and you wouldn't be banging everything around. At least you'd be, if you were late, at least you'd be in the basement already. We wouldn't have to be interrupted by you. Listen, there's something we can do. We're God's children. We don't have to just be kicked around by the devil and let him lead us wherever he wants to take us. We're God's people. And then thirdly, I think we need to love the Lord more. We just need to love the Lord more. Listen to this verse. Here's a verse. The verse we use a lot of times is 1 John chapter 4, verse number 19, it says, we love him because he first loved us. But sometimes it's interesting to take those Bible verses that we have memorized and then go around those verses, check above them, check below them, see what else it says. Listen to what the verse says just ahead of that. It says, there is no fear in love. Now, the Bible doesn't say that there's scarcely less fear in love. It doesn't say there's a little bit less fear in love. The Bible says there is no fear in love. Listen, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And how many times I've thought in my mind and my heart that to love him more, I just need to really feast on how much he loves me. And the more I see that he loves me, the more I love him. And the more I love him, the more perfect my love becomes. And the more perfect my love becomes, the less I fear. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and there is no fear in love. But perfect fear casteth out love, or casteth out fear. So let me ask you this question. What is it that the Lord wants you to do? What is it? Now, if you're saved, you're a child of God, the Holy Ghost of God lives in your heart, there's something that God wants you to do. That's something that God wants you to do, I have no idea what it would be. But it's something that's exciting. Not only is it exciting, but it's satisfying. It's something that will make you eager to get up and get started at it in the morning, and it'll make you hesitant to put it down at night. It's something that will feed your soul. It's something that is addictive. It's something. It's like those people in the house of Stephanus who had addicted themselves to the ministry. It's just. It's something that just is.